Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, I don't know what's going on around here, folks. I don't know if somebody spiked the sweet tea over at McAllister's earlier today or what, but I find myself in a very interesting predicament. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, hour three of the show. And here is my predicament. I'm actually finding myself in agreement with J.K. Rowling and Gloria Steinem. Caleb, I think our call screener just passed out from shock. So could you just...
I've been keeping up with this stuff. I'm actually in agreement with J.K. Rowling as well on this subject that you're talking about.
Did she add some more backstory to another one of her characters?
No, thankfully not.
No more backstories. No, apparently a number of leftists, including J.K. Rowling and Gloria Steinem, Noam Chomsky, have written a letter published in Harper's Magazine. And they are very alarmed at the cancel culture, which is really no such thing. It's fascism. And they say that their fellow liberals have exhibited an intolerance of opposing views, a vogue for public shaming and ostracism, and the tendency to dissolve complex policy issues in a blinding moral certainty. Well, welcome to our club, Gloria Steinem and J.K. Rowling. This is what conservatives have been having to deal with for decades. And as much as I would love to gloat and say, I told you so, we are living in a very dangerous time in American history. And honestly, we need to stand every freedom-loving patriot in America, whether they be liberal or conservative, we're going to have to stand side by side and fight back the fascist. That's the only way through this thing. And so I want to go to the newsmaker line, the Liberty University newsmaker line. It's really an honor to have former Senator Jim DeMint with us. He has a terrific new book out, came out yesterday, called Saving America from Socialism, How to Stop Progressive Attacks on Freedom. It really is one of these books. It's a for such a time as this book, to borrow a phrase from Chuck Colson. Senator, what an honor to have you on the radio show today.
Todd, it's great to be with you, and I loved your intro here, I tend to agree with you as well. We've been fighting this for decades, and it's not just fascism, but there's a close kinship to socialism and central government power. It's all mixed in together, and all freedom-loving Americans, like you said, need to stand up together, regardless of political views, and push this back.
Senator, let's talk about this problem. I know President Trump just a few days ago, standing at the base of Mount Rushmore, I thought did a really terrific job of resetting and refocusing what the 2020 presidential election is and should be about. What say you?
Oh, it was an excellent speech. You would never know it from almost all of the media. The things I first heard about it, I thought he had gone and said some things that were just terribly divisive, and until I actually saw the transcript myself, it was a wonderful speech, bringing America together, but calling out some things that needed to be called out. So the guy can't do anything right as far as the leftist press is concerned.
No, he cannot. And what's tragic about this, you would think the mainstream media would be aware of this cancel culture. But by and large, they seem to be embracing this. And we've seen a good number of journalists that have been booted right out the front door because of their political opinions, which may be contrary to those of the, of the cancel culture mob.
Yeah. I think everyone's trying to avoid being canceled themselves, and whether they're apologizing for America's racism or whatever. You see Republicans and so-called conservatives just come out and try to go along with this just to keep from getting canceled, instead of just standing up and fighting. And it's so absurd, and that they're taking down each other now, which is almost fun to watch when you see it in the news media, liberal talking head gets booted because he wasn't quite liberal or progressive enough. But I mean, there's your head will explode if this whole so much that's going on right now, Todd, is just so illogical and irrational, and it's just based on so many lies that I think most Americans just kind of shake their head and walk away.
So I want you to take our listeners back to, let's go back to 2009. You had this incredible bestseller, Saving Freedom, We Can Stop America's Slide into Socialism. You were seeing things that people were not talking about back in 2009. So let's talk about, how did all of this start? How did we get to where we are today?
Yeah, and Saving America from Socialism is an update of that. But you're right, after being in the House and the Senate, it was clear to me that all of the policies were shifting towards more central power in Washington, more federal programs, more spending and debt, and that you know people were not willing to use the word socialism, except for maybe Bernie Sanders at the time. But these were warnings, and I was trying to help America see the warning signs when a free nation starts moving towards socialism. But I put the book out again and updated it because it's no longer about warnings. It's all around us. If you want to know what socialism looks like, just look how some governors have responded to the coronavirus, deciding which businesses can open and which can't, where we can go, who we can associate with, whether we can go to church, closing schools, and using a crisis and often bad information to try to scare everybody into complying. So this is something that what worries me, Todd, is if you don't know how good you have it and you don't understand the threats, you're probably going to lose the things that you really care about. And that's where America is now. Our children have been educated in schools where they don't understand how freedom works and how we get it. And they certainly don't understand socialism because the majority of young people think it's better than capitalism.
On the Newsmaker line is Senator Jim DeMint, author of the new book, came out just yesterday, folks, Saving America from Socialism. So, Senator, how do we do that? What is a step that you would recommend people take to start that fight?
Well, we first need to realize, and this is what the last part of the book is about, is helping people realize that there's still hope, there's still time, we're at a tipping point. But that everyone can make a difference. You may not be in politics or you may not have a platform, but like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, you don't realize how much difference you can make until you get a good glimpse of it, maybe later in life or maybe after life. But everyone needs to understand we have a role. America is built from the ground up by millions of people making their own decisions. So we just need to start speaking out and not being afraid. But we need to have a philosophy that works with America, and that is a constitutional philosophy, or we call it federalism sometime, of we don't want most decisions made in Washington. We need to let states, who they're far from perfect, but let them make more decisions about education and health care and transportation and how we help the poor. That's how we're set up as a republic. And Todd, as you know, there are a lot of people now calling for a national popular election, which is the opposite of what our founders wanted. We are not a national democracy. We're a republic that based on a limited power at the federal level and states having a lot of power. But one of the main points of the book, Todd, is that our free economic system is the strongest and most powerful counterbalance to big government. And we've got to maintain freedom for people to do business the way they want, to sell what they want, for people to buy what they want, and to make sure there's lots of competition.
And that's, for me, I mean, this has been the most troubling part of all of this. And I happen to be, in addition to doing the radio host, I'm a small business owner. And it troubles me, Senator, when you see the government saying, okay, big box, corporate stores, you can reopen, but you mom and pop shops, yeah, you can't. That's too dangerous. That makes absolutely no sense to me, and I'm really concerned about what kind of an impact it's going to have when these mom-and-pop businesses finally just have to shut down for good.
Well, there's a lot of data now, Todd, that shows that hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of small businesses have closed permanently. I had a small business for nearly 20 years, and a lot of it's month to month. If you're in business, you probably know that. And I couldn't have closed down for 3 months and opened back up. All my clients would have been gone. And so I just don't think a lot of folks at the state and federal level understand that you can't lock down this economy and expect it to open right back up.
It's a fair point you make. Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations on the new book. And you and I both happen to share the same publisher, Post Hill and Fidelis, a great publishing house.
Yes, they are. And Todd, it's good to be back with you. And thanks for what you do every day.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator Jim DeMint, ladies and gentlemen, the book, Saving America from Socialism. You can get that on Amazon. Book just came out yesterday. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. And by the way, we have a link to the book in our live show blog over at ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
All right, all you saltine Americans, listen up. We've got some news. I need to talk to the white people in the audience for just a moment. What was it Avery said? I'm not a saltine American. I'm a Ritz cracker.
I'm a Ritz cracker, baby, to the core.
Hey, I have more Native American blood in me than Elizabeth Warren, so I don't...
Caleb, you know Caleb. Caleb's a Nilla wafer.
Yeah.
All right, listen up, white people. We've got a problem. I need to talk to my people for just a moment. So, we got an email from one of our listeners. I don't know why I'm laughing. This is a horrible story. This poor guy works at Union Pacific Railroad and, he's a little bit upset. So the company is making people go through diversity and inclusion classes. We had to do this at Fox News Channel. And a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, the HR department at Fox is far left. And basically, the whole gist of these classes is it's always the white man's fault. So that's just, it doesn't matter. If you're a white woman, you're okay. You can kind of skirt by. But basically, it is blame the white guy 101. That's what these HR classes are really all about. I don't. If you think I make it, if you don't think so, I mean, I'd like to hear from you. But I mean, that's just my impression. As a matter of fact, that you know, there were interactive guys, so you know, they had to ask you questions. So it's not like you could just sit back and play solitaire on the the iPhone. And seriously, every time they would ask me a question, I'm surprised they kept me around as long as they did. Because I would just say, they said, well, Mr. Starnes, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Who's to blame? I'm like, the white guy. That was my answer to every single problem, every question. Mr. Starnes, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Who should lose their job? The white guy.
What if they're both white?
What was your batting average on that, by the way?
The other white guy. I don't know. I thought I passed the class. I don't know. So anyway, this poor guy, Union Pacific Railroad. And they're having to go to these classes, and the classes are meant for white people. So if you're a white person, you have to go to the class. It is taught by a person of color, and they're teaching you white folks how not to be racist. And I'm not making this up. The guy sent me the email, the company email.
This is gold.
The email invites employees to share stories about systemic discrimination. They were also urged to recognize and eliminate bias and racism so they could build an inclusive workplace. Now, here's the thing, and this is, folks, it is verbatim. Union Pacific Railroad says that just saying you are not a racist is not good enough.
I am on the same exact page that Union Pacific Railroad is on right now. I totally get it.
You have to actually work to be anti-racist. So it's not... Got to burn those Barry Manilow CDs.
See, but Todd, technically, if you're working to be anti-racist, meaning you are giving more attention to people of color just because they are a person of color, doesn't that make you racist?
You're learning a lot on this radio program.
I know. See, I try.
Well, I think what they're trying to tell you, Todd, is wokeness is like a muscle. You got to use it or lose it.
That's good.
So, anyway, they're basically, Union Pacific is basically saying, they're presupposing that if you are white, you are inherently racist. And Union Pacific goes on to say they want to create an environment where workers can bring their whole self and thrive. What does that even mean? Do you bring part of yourself to work? What kind of a person does that?
Depending on the job, yes.
You bring your whole self and thrive. That's what working at Union Pacific, I thought it was about making sure the trains ran on time. But clearly I was mistaken. Now that brings me to another story. This is from theblaze.com. The city of Seattle is hosting a training workshop for white employees, and it's titled Interrupting Internalized Racial Superiority and Whiteness. They should probably come up with a better title. It doesn't like you to just grab you. It's like, oh, I want to learn how to do that.
Doesn't even have an interesting acronym.
No. I mean, if it was something like honky or something like, you know, that would like, you're like, oh, that's clever. Oh, are we allowed to say that on the radio? I don't know if we are or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Can we say cracker? Yeah, I think we could say cracker.
Well, we had that in the audio clip earlier, so.
You say cracker, I say barrel. Cracker.
Barrel.
Barrel. I feel like we got a protest. We got a protest chant, man.
Might have to work on the enthusiasm just a bit.
So anyway, the city of Seattle is hosting this training session for white employees, and they want to help white people. They want to help us, and I get it. I need all the help I can get, to be honest with you, Caleb.
I won't turn it down.
I'm just lily white. But they want to help us because we have to affirm our complicity in racism. We also have to upend our whiteness.
I take it back. I'll turn it down.
What is that even? How do you do that? How do you upend your whiteness? I should lay out and get a tan, I guess. I don't know. I do get darker in the summertime, though. I tan naturally.
I go from white helps. To red. I don't tan at all. I just go from white to sunburned, and then it peels, and I'm right back to white again.
Yeah. I also have a few ways in mind that you can up your whiteness.
Yes.
Okay. So number one, getting Starbucks coffee every day. I'm not going to say Starbucks coffee is bad, but that's just a stereotypical white person thing. If you get it frozen coffee, a frozen coffee, that's a white thing, 100%. Also, if you listen to Vanilla Ice, I feel like that's self-explanatory.
Or Justin Timberlake. What, really? Nobody's gonna comment? What is, like, Justin Timberlake, like, sacrosanct or something?
Nah, it's just... Yeah, it's just Justin Timberlake. That's all I have to say for that.
He's got the sunshine in his pocket. It's kind of creepy, if you ask me.
Can't stop the feeling.
That's the problem. All right, gotta take a break here, folks. Sweet mercy, America. Sweet mercy. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, we're big NASCAR fans around here, and Lord only knows that NASCAR is in the toilet these days. Going woke, embracing Black Lives Matter. It's insane. The political correctness in NASCAR. Never thought I would see the day that would happen. However, there are some glimmers of good news, and we want to share those with you right now. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We have our good friend Randy Sutton, the founder of the Wounded Blue. And also, we're very excited to have a NASCAR driver with us, Angela Rook. And both of you, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here, as always.
So I'm going to start with you, Randy, and it's good to have you back with us. It's really exciting what you guys are doing because there is going to be a Back the Blue car driving in NASCAR races supporting police officers across the country.
I can't tell you how excited I am, and to have Angela on our team, the team of law enforcement. You know, our organization is the organization that assists injured and disabled officers throughout the United States, and that includes the emotional and psychological injuries as well as the physical injuries and disabilities. So, to have such a phenomenal driver and team together with the Wounded Blue, I can't tell you how excited I am, and I'm going to be going to Kentucky. Even though I can't actually watch the race, I'm going there anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Angela, so you're going to be driving in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. And I'm wondering what kind of a response you're getting from fellow racers as a result of fellow drivers as a result of this great logo.
I got to be honest with you, Todd. It's actually been very, very supportive. And kind of how I've been responding to everybody is this was actually a really easy decision for me as far as, you know, everything you're reading, watching on TV and in the news is I feel like it's just very one-sided. We're not hearing the other side. So I feel like NASCAR gives me this incredible platform to let all voices be heard. And who better to partner with than Randy and his team at the Wounded Blue and helping me raise awareness for this incredible organization. So I'm just super excited to be a part of it.
Angela, I'm curious. NASCAR's come under attack, no doubt about it. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're targeting NASCAR drivers, NASCAR fans?
You know, I don't really know how to answer that, to be honest with you, Todd. You know, I know NASCAR's been in the news, good and bad, a lot the past few weeks, like you just said. You know, with the Bubba Wallace issue, with the new son in his garage. It's hard to say. I wasn't there for that race. I do know I fully support that if that was the cause that was there and I was standing in unity with everybody side by side for that cause. But it's, like I said, it's a really easy decision for me to stand up this weekend and know that I'm standing for, you know, for the Wounded Blue, for Randy and his team, for the men and women in blue that don't have a voice.
Randy, that's got to be encouraging for you to know there are people in NASCAR who do stand up for law enforcement in this country and are not ashamed. They're going to, you know, support you guys and they're going to wear your logo out there on the racetrack.
Oh, I can't tell you how excited I am. And I got to tell you, Angela is a strong voice, but she's also very symbolic to me, symbolic of what America really stands for, because I fully believe that most Americans trust and believe in their law enforcement, but they're not being given the opportunity to talk about it. And so what Angela is doing by putting our logo and the Back the Blue logo on her car, she's showing America that she stands up for what she believes in. And I think that that's very symbolic of America.
You know, Angela,
Randy, I got to add something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to add something to that, Randy. And I love that. Sorry to interrupt you, Todd. But, you know, I do in the respect that I know people believe in this cause. But what they can't do is they can't stand up for what's right. And by saying that, I mean, it's like they have full-time careers. Like, you know, they work for, you know, big companies that, you know, they could lose their job over this. Right. So for me, I feel like I'm voicing my opinion and I know what's right. And I know what a lot of other Americans can't speak, but I'm speaking for everybody on that side is we do support the men and women that risk their lives every day for us in blue. And that's what I'm standing for. I know a lot of Americans are standing out there beside me. So.
Oh, no doubt about that. And Randy, to her point, isn't it sort of sad, though, that people, you know, are afraid to speak out because they might lose their jobs? There might be some sort of professional blowback.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the cancel culture is very real. I mean, what we're seeing harassment on social media for people that stand up for law enforcement. I mean, I get death threats all the time on social media and you know, very negative, comments about law enforcement. And what we, you know, in my organization, what we do is we help injured and disabled officers. I mean, you can't, you know, we're talking about a group of people who's basically been forgotten by their own, very often their own cities as well. So, you know, you talk about a compassion and empathy that we need to have for these men and women. And that's what really, you know, Angela is standing up for. And I really heartily recommend people go to Amazon and look at our documentary film called The Wounded Blue, which will show exactly what is taking place in America. And I guarantee you, it will shock you.
Well, this is exciting, and I know a lot of folks are going to be watching that race this coming weekend and rooting for you, Angela. Best of luck to you. And Randy, congratulations. I think it's a terrific partnership, you guys, and let's hope for a big win this weekend.
Thanks so much for standing and supporting us. Appreciate it.
All right, Angela Rook, and also our good friend from The Wounded Blue. Wow, good stuff, folks. And that's pretty exciting what's happening there. So, all right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just got an email message from my good buddy Frank Corder. He is the managing editor of YallPolitics.com. They cover everything in the state of Mississippi that's worth covering. And this is a pretty big story coming out of the capital city of Jackson, Mississippi. Avery, I want to ask you a question. Put you on
yes,
the
sir.
Spot. So there's a huge breaking news story happening in the city of Jackson. What do you think that breaking news story is? Take a gander.
Is it going to be something about racism?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Help 2 is coming out.
Caleb, go stand in the corner. No, that is not correct.
I don't know.
So the name of the city of Jackson...
Are they
going to
change the name?
So
why? What's the purpose of that? I don't get it.
Mississippi's capital city, Jackson, founded in 1821, named after General Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory. Old Hickory. He was honored for his heroism at the Battle of New Orleans during the waning days of the War of 1812.
Okay, yes, yes, yes.
Andrew Jackson, of course, went on to become president of these great United States.
That he did.
And so now the city council has overwhelmingly voted, 5-1, by the way, to remove the statue of Andrew Jackson from the front of City Hall. And the mayor has been authorized to do this. That's Mayor Chakwe Lumumba. That's the mayor's name.
Cool name. I like it.
Mayor Chakwe Lumumba. The mayor supported the removal of the statue, noting Andrew Jackson's, quote, heinous acts of genocide in the lead up to the Trail of Tears that relocated American Indians. He was also upset because apparently Andrew Jackson was a slave owner.
Well, got to change the name now. Got to change every single thing about that town.
Mayor Chakwe Lumumba says that we should not have to constantly encounter the likenesses of those who profited off of the blood, sweat, and despair of our ancestors or see them immortalized as honorable. All right, well, go ahead and change the name of the town.
Yep.
If you're going to do that, just change the name of the town.
I agree.
For that matter, resign your post because you are mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. Mayor Lumumba. Is it Lumumba or Lumumba?
I'm not sure.
LaBamba?
I'm going to look it up again.
LaMumba sounds cooler for sure.
Yeah. No, LaBamba's a song. That's not it. Yeah. The mayor says Andrew Jackson is guilty of one of the most heinous acts of genocide this nation has ever seen. He was also known as one of the most brutal slave owners throughout slavery. And so as we build a city focused on progress, and unity, we must make certain that we display images which reflect those aspirations. The lone Republican on the Jackson City Council voted in opposition, saying the whole idea of tearing down historical statues and monuments is generally a bad idea. We need to understand our history, not tear it down. So there you go. Do not be surprised if they try to rename the city of Jackson. It could very well happen. As a matter of fact, any town or county named after anyone who had anything to do with slavery or the Civil War or civil rights, do not be surprised if there are efforts to rename those communities. Do not be surprised. This is far from over, folks. It is absolutely far from over. So thank you, Frank Corder, YallPolitics.com. They've got the story up on their website. I also received a message from a parent in North Carolina. Any of you folks soccer fans out there?
Atlanta United's pretty good. I've watched a few of their matches.
It's kickball. I'd prefer football.
I like soccer.
It's hockey on grass.
Yeah, true. But so hockey, you're allowed to be a lot more rough.
They're doing the soccer camps, and a lot of the parents were not aware of what they were actually going to be doing. It turns out the little urchins were not learning to play soccer. They're learning to be little Black Lives Matter activists. And a parent sent me the information. We're going to post this up on the website a little bit later on today. But the parent sent me a document from the soccer league, and they're telling the parents, I just want to read this to you. This is fascinating. We recognize, and again, these are coaches. Their job is to what? What is the job of a coach?
It's to instruct their players how to play the game.
To instruct their players on what Avery just said. That's right. To teach them how to kick a ball into a net. It's kind of a boring game in my estimation.
Have you ever seen a soccer player kick, you know, a shot on goal? And you know how high they're like. Doesn't that look a lot like goose stepping?
Yeah, I'm not talking. I'm not going to respond to that. I don't want to go there. So here's what the coaches wrote to the parents. We recognize that when you sign your children up for soccer, the goal was to develop them. Oh, I see what they did there. The goal was to develop them as the best versions of themselves on the pitch. But today, that doesn't go far enough. Uh-oh. If we're not helping to make them good people, we as a club fall short. And that's when they go into this big diatribe about Black Lives Matter. We're not afraid to say it. Black Lives Matter. We have committed ourselves to be part of the solution. No more sitting on the bench as well-meaning bystanders. And so they've launched this initiative called One Club, One Love.
It's like they tried to rhyme it, but it doesn't really rhyme. It's just
What they were saying with they're no longer going to have anyone sit on the bench for, you know, this sort of issue, does that also mean that they're going to let every single one of their players play and not sit on the bench ever, no matter their ability to play the game?
It's a terrific question, Avery. This is the Charlotte Independent Soccer Club. Independence Soccer Club. And I'm telling you, the diversity committee. It's the anti-racism task force. We're talking about kids. We're talking about little kids.
See, this is the thing. It's fine that kids are wanting to play soccer. You know, that's sort of like the stereotypical thing that kids do is join, you know, a soccer team when they're younger. I mean, I never did, but I mean, I know several people who did. But the thing is, if you want to be, you know, if you truly want to be anti-racist and say that Black Lives Matter, or, you know, even better, all lives matter, just coach the kids on how to be on teamwork and to work together. That's how you overcome this sort of racial bias in America, is showing that everybody is important on the team and you need to treat everybody on that team with the utmost respect.
Avery, you know, and again, you're a young kid, and Caleb, you are too. I mean, you guys are young. And you're going to have to deal with this more so than people like me. So, you know, I've got a lot of miles on the odometer here. But there was a story out yesterday about NBC Universal, and this is just, people need to understand what's coming down the pike unless we make serious changes. NBC Universal says their goal is to be a 50-50 diversity workplace. In other words, 50% of all the employees working for NBC Universal have to be a person of color. It doesn't matter. It does not matter about ability. It matters about skin color.
And then 50% of them also had to be female as well, I believe.
50% female. So Avery and Caleb, I mean, if you guys are both white, you're men, you go to apply for a job at NBC Universal, you could be the most qualified person, but you would not get that job because of the color of your skin, because of the sex you were born.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to identify, self-identify.
I'll keep that in mind for my impending application to NBC.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to work at MSNBC.
I don't see myself applying there.
That's right. I'm a dolphin. I self-identify as a fish.
I've heard somebody I identify as an attack helicopter. I've heard that one before.
Well, again, it's you know, we're going to try to laugh our way through all this, but guys, these are serious issues that we need to talk about as a country. I mean, honestly, to judge people based on the color of their skin, that is a fight worth having. That is a fight worth fighting, and we're going to fight it every single day on this radio program. I guarantee. All right, folks, been a lot of fun. Weird show today. It was a weird show. But you know what? Those are the best shows. Get out there. Have a great day. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.